Over to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Appreciate the Lord bringing us all this way. As we looked in 2 Thessalonians this past Wednesday night, the Lord directed my heart to go back over here to chapter 3 and look at something very important tonight that I believe will help us as a church and as Christians and as individuals. And as we look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to begin reading down at verse 1. As the Bible says there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." Now notice that thing. He said, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patient waiting for Christ." I want to preach to you tonight on a challenge for a prayerful church. If I was going to be known for anything in this world by other people, I would not want to be known as a great preacher. I found out people expect too much anyway. I wouldn't want to be known as a person that, even though it's a good thing to be known as, is somebody that obeys the speed laws and pays their taxes and things like that. Those are all good things, but I'd want to be known as somebody that prays. And listen, I've heard people say, "Well, I ask people to pray for me and they don't pray." How do you know that? Psychologically speaking, when you accuse somebody of something you're not doing, you accuse them of not doing it, because the Bible teaches psychologically and biblically that you only accuse people of things you're not doing. But I notice as we get to 2 Thessalonians, Paul, who prays, asked the church, who prays, for several different things. And we want to look at those tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here tonight and be alive. Lord, what a great place to come to, Lord, where the rain's falling, but it's not falling in here. Lord, thank you, Lord, that while we're here tonight, God, you've got us protected. Lord, it is your perfect will, Lord, to be here tonight with the message and the verses we read. And we pray, God, tonight, Lord, that you'll just move in our hearts and lives and help us, Lord God. Speak to our hearts out of the Word of God and help us, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help me, God, to preach. That you'd anoint me from on high and help me preach what thus saith the Lord is without fear, favor, or compromise. And I pray, God, that you'll add the blessing to the reading of your Word tonight. Save that one that is closest to hell. And Lord, bless the saints of God that's in our presence tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want a good outline of his word, of his Bible, it's got 66 sub-points, but I want to give you 5 main points to the Bible. Number 1, the Old Testament. That's where Jesus Christ is prophesied. He's prophesied in the Old Testament, and he's prophesied as being the coming Redeemer of God that's going to come and take away the sin of the world. In the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's personalized. And you get to see a side of him that's never been revealed before those Gospels came. And you get to see how he interacts with people and how he talks with people and the works that he does. And more importantly, there's a couple of times he couldn't do something because people lacked faith in him doing it. So he just bypassed them and kept going. I noticed that he's preached in the book of Acts. And he's preached in the book of Acts as being the solution to all of your problems. Amen. He said, "Well, if I had $1 million, if you had $1 million, you'd have $1 million problems. And $1 million relatives showing up to borrow money." I noticed that in the epistles, we could say he's presented in the epistles, because now after he's been preached in the book of Acts, in the epistles we get he's presented to us as being the ruler of his church and how to run things and the personal things in our daily lives and so forth. And then in the book of Revelation, he's predicted there to come again.
Right.
And he's on his way.
That's right.
I'm glad to know tonight that we've got a Savior who's not lost eye on us, and he knows where we're at in life. Wow. I'm glad that if you study Bible prophecy, what you're studying is what God's already told you is going to happen. And he can be trusted, because we look at the fulfilled prophecy and tell that he knows what he's doing and he's got everything under control.
Right.
Tonight, as we look at some things that a church needs to pray for, I noticed the first thing he says we need to pray for is the presentation of God's Word. He says in verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you."
Right.
See, listen, there's a lot of people who have this mentality that all we got to do is just get the Word of God out there and it'll take care of itself and we don't have to do nothing. That's a lazy man's religion, my friend. Because it takes prayer and the Word of God and the Spirit of God to move and do something. If not, under the inspiration of God, he had never said, pray that the Word of the Lord may have free course. I notice what blocks that course, and that's what he wants us to pray for, is the presentation of God's Word. We need to make sure we pray all the devils out the door. And listen, we need to pray that all the distractions stop. Let me give you some things to help you tonight. Listen, if you're here tonight and you tell me you're saved, don't you listen to me very carefully. You don't need to go to the bathroom three times while I'm preaching.
Right.
You don't need to answer your cell phone.
Right.
Listen, let me show you something. I found this little button on mine. I brought it with me tonight. All you got to do is hunt that thing down, flip that thing off, and she'll never holler while I'm preaching.
Come on.
I've seen people get up and answer phone calls while I'm preaching. There's no phone call that important to interrupt this service. Not one of them. You say, well, my pappy, he's dying. He'll be all right. Listen, he made it this long with you ignoring him. You can ignore him right on through that phone call and going out there then. It's funny how people die. That's when they love people. Before that, they hate their guts. I just don't understand it. But you say you love God, you want to interrupt what he might be doing in somebody's heart and life right on the pew next beside you. And listen, hey, listen, I'm not trying to be mean. Well, I take it back. I am trying to be mean tonight because I want you to get the point.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, listen, those of you that's fixing to have surgery, suppose I were to come to your surgery. What if I went to your knee surgery you had, and I walked in there and I told the doctor, I said, "Doc, can I sit in on this one?" And he'd tell me, "Why, sure, come on in, scrub up even, sit over in the corner." And while he's out cold, depend on that doctor to cut whatever it was he cut on you and make sure he don't cut too far down or too far up and get whatever it was out or put whatever it was in. I forget if you got a bionic knee or what it was you got that day. But I thought about this. What if I were to come in there and say, "Hey, wait a minute, Doc. I got to go to the bathroom halfway through this thing." That wouldn't be good. What if I interrupted him in the middle of his surgery with something I wanted to say? I know you're doing this, but I feel like, no, listen. When the Holy Spirit of God is working on somebody, you ought to pray God keep all the distractions down. The Word of the Lord may have free course. I notice that he says here that he said, pray for us. He's talking about the guys preaching the book, man, that they'll have the Word of the Lord have free course. And it says, and be glorified even as it is with you. If God's Word gets free course, and before you tell me, well, I know that the Bible says such and such about it. If we just put the book out there and do it, I'm going to tell you something. It also says be a contender for the faith.
Come on.
That would be in the book of Jude.
Right.
To the faith once delivered for the saints.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ said in the parable of the sower that the devil would come along and snatch that seed of the Word of God out of somebody's heart and life as sure as you sitting there looking at me tonight.
Yeah, you're right.
And if he said that, and he wrote this book, and he's the one that got Paul to write what he wrote, I think we need to follow what the Bible says and pray for the presentation of God's Word that it have free course.
Right.
Because see, when the Bible has free course, what you'll find out is people will be freed from sin and its enslavement. There's a lot of times in a lot of people's lives and churches all over our great planet we live on here that God gave us to stand on, that Christians get enslaved in sin, and they can't get out of it, and their preacher preaches his guts out till they're about ready to fall out on the floor, and somehow, in some way, people can't get victory because the Word of God don't have free course.
Yeah.
I went to a service one time, and I will not tell you where it's at, but I was sitting beside this man and woman, and she jumped up in the middle while one of them preachers preaching and started screaming at the top of her lungs. Just kept doing that. And I thought, do I offend that bad? I mean, I hadn't said a word. I was just sitting there. And I thought, bless her heart, she might have something wrong with her. I thought she may be mentally ill. I didn't know what might be wrong with that person. And the curiosity got the best of me. So after she finally sat down and everything calmed down again while the preacher's preaching, I apologize. I had to even do this. I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "Now watch this. I just got full of the Holy Ghost." That's what she said. And I said, okay. About 20 minutes later, the man that was preaching, I've had him here in this pulpit, he gave the invitation. Do you know she's one of the first one people to go down there and get saved? And I thought that was very strange that a woman who was a few minutes ago while the preacher was preaching wasn't even listening because she was screaming at the top of her head. All of a sudden, she needs to get saved. She said she was full of the Holy Ghost before she got saved. I got news for you. That's not the order of events, how God works in some sinner's life. You get under conviction by the Holy Ghost. You get saved by the Lord Jesus. And God gives you the Spirit of God after conversion and not before. He gives you the Spirit at conversion. So you say, well, that's good. Some religious reprobate got saved. 6 months later, I was back in that same place. Same preacher was preaching. Same exact preacher. Had him right here. He was preaching, and I heard screaming going on. See, this time I was careful. I didn't sit beside that woman this time. If I know you're going to act up and cut a fool, I'm going to be somewhere else. And I said to myself, I'm not sitting up there because, number one, I got scared to death when she done it, and I didn't know when it was coming. So if I'd have been sitting there, I'd been watching for it the whole time, and I'd been distracted. So I sat back about 10 or 15 rows back, and the same almost exact thing happened. It went on again, so this time I didn't go up there and ask. I knew what the show, dog and pony show, was doing this time. And then about 25 to 30 minutes later, that preacher gave an invitation. She was one of the first ones to go down and get saved. Now, let me ask you something. In all honesty, is that a distraction? We need to pray God's Word have free course and the presentation of God's Word, especially for people like that God would get them out of the enslavement of sin and how it will bind you to religion and things like that. Listen, if Word of God has free course, it's going to help you from a guilty conscience. Do you know in your past you've probably done some things that if we pulled down that screen and showed them, you'd run out of this building right now. And that's the best dressed ones of you in here.
Come on.
I mean, stuff that you confess that's under the blood. And you know what? The devil never lets you forget about it.
Yeah.
You remember that time back in 1971 when you did such and such? And you're like, 1971? I can't remember 1991. And the devil sure got it wrote down. And he'll point out that 10 hours ago you thought something in your head that was bad. And 2 days ago you did this and so forth and so on. And he'll constantly keep you a reminder of that just to keep you to having a guilty conscience where you'll never do anything for the Lord.
Yeah.
You'll never serve Him in any capacity because your conscience will be so guilty that you can't do nothing for Him. You'll feel like you're just the biggest hypocrite in the world and you won't want to follow Jesus and do what He says. He said, pray for us. Pray for the presentation of God's Word so we can help some people out like that to realize this. The devil may bring it up, but God's put it under the blood. Hey, the devil may say this happened in such and such a date, but God said it's removed as far as from the east as the west as far as He's concerned. Why? Because the blood's been applied and He chose not to remember it no more. I notice that we see the things the church need to pray for. Verse number 2, look at this thing. Verse 2 and verse 3. He tells us this about the protection of God's workers. We need to pray for the men of God, God's workers. Number 1, he says there in verse 2, he says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And you may want to underline this little phrase here, for all men have not faith. There are people that will attack God's workers in a place and do so unjustly, treat them unfairly, and condemn them for things and question motives when they don't even have any clue of what's going on. And we need to pray for the protection of God's workers. The people that attack, listen, he said they're unreasonable. They are unreasonable. Do you know what the difference is between you and animals? Reasoning. When people get unreasonable, they're acting like a hog or a dog. Both of which the scriptures say that when people turn away from God, they get like that. They go back to their own mire. They wallow their own mire. They go back to their own vomit. Why is that? They're unreasonable. They got the reasoning of a yard animal out there. Listen, grow up and be a big human being. Be a man. Be a woman. Be a mature something. I know when you were 5 and everybody said, man, that's funny how you roll on the floor and get a tantrum. Now that you're 55, it ain't so cute.
Right.
It's time to grow up.
Right.
Somebody asked me my opinion one day about when people should start acting like they're an adult. You know what I said? When they start breathing, start working on it right then. Start working on it right then. Not trying to outgrow your youth or something like that, but start acting mature. You don't have to have your way all the time. Did you know that? It's very possible tonight. It's very possible tonight I could take all these children here, put them up on this platform, and tell them to sit here and be quiet, and they would. You know why? Because they know I'll beat the devil out of them if they don't. Amen. And listen, but here's the other thing. They know I love them, and if I wanted to come do that, I wouldn't ask them for just no other reason. So they won't do that for me. Really? Have you showed them you loved them lately? We read this morning Hebrews chapter 12, some things over there, and I noticed there's a verse over that key verse. If you endure chastening, God dealeth to you as sons.
Right.
Oh my goodness. So don't give me everything I want, God. Help me out. Get me straight on some things, and I'll know you love me. Say amen right there. You know this is good. The people that attack the workers of God are people that are unreasonable. And it says in that thing I had you underlined, he said they're unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Do you know I found out why two reasons why churches split? There's only two. Well, that crowd won't do right. That ain't one of them. That preacher, he's something. No, that ain't the other one. Only two reasons. Number one, churches split because of lost leaders in the church. People who've never been converted, who've never experienced salvation in Jesus Christ, people who have never been born again, work their way to the top of the ladder in religious matters. They get to the point where they think that, well, I've been over I doubt the plan on a pretty big shot. I think I need to be over something here. And somebody says, won't you be over the committees, be over such and such committee? I say, you know, I'll try that. And they go in there and they're over that committee. And for long, after the next election, they're the chairman of that committee. Then after that one, they say, you know what? I think I can handle about two more of these. This is pretty good work. I'm doing something for the Lord. And they get over two or three more committees. And before long, somebody says, if it's a man, they'll come in and say, you know what? I know you ain't been here on Sunday and Wednesday night, but we think we ought to make you a deacon so you start coming to church three times a week. And the guy says, you know what? I think we need to do that. And before long, they have an ordination service. They ordain him as a deacon. Uncle Claude comes down from Tennessee and everybody else. I mean, boy, we have a time and all that. And that just puffs that guy up. He's lost and undone without God. Listen, when the curtains close at night, he turns the lights out at night. No Bible, no prayer, no nothing, no God, no Spirit of God. Just that old flesh laying there with a dead spirit inside it. And then one day, they get to looking at things and say, you know what? You hear all the time, and you why don't you teach Sunday school? And they put them in charge of Sunday school. Next thing you know, they go in there, 5 minutes in the parking lot before they walk in the door. They ain't studied to open the Bible all week long. They read through that little quarterly, and they say, you know what? I think what I ought to do is I ought to go in there and read this part right here. Now underline, make a note here and there. Walk in there and use those little notes and everything. And before long, somebody says, you know what? You handle God's book so good, I believe God's called you to preach. And they said, you know what, I believe He has too. And they realize, hey, I can get even more power, and they're power hungry. And they get in there and they say, you know what, I am. And before long, they learn how to answer all the right things. Because you know what they'll do? They'll go to God-called preachers and say, what was it like when God called you to preach? What happened? And they'll fabricate a story that'll fit somebody else's. And they'll come up with this thing where God called them to preach. And the next thing you know, they're in a place, and they're there. And while they're pastoring or preaching at that place that they've worked their way into and politicked into, they're unreasonable. Not only are they unreasonable, they're also wicked. That's like that quarter in your pocket. You got a heads on one side and a tails on the other. That thing goes together. Unreasonable and wicked. He didn't say unreasonable and wicked women. He said unreasonable and wicked men. I noticed that he said, for all men have not faith. Them lost leaders get like that, and before long that preacher gets in there and he's unreasonable. Nobody can talk to him or anything else. And then somebody comes along and says this. Well, I think we ought to do such and such. Oh, no, we ain't! And then a big old argument starts. Then they have a business meeting. And then the guy says this. He says, I'm leaving out of here, and all of you that love Jesus, come with me. And he resigns and walks out, and half of them walk out with him. Number two reason why church splits is this. Lost leaders, lost people. Because a lost person, they don't come to church to get help from God. But boy, if we call a meeting like that and vote out the preacher, you'll find every church member from three different churches. That boy, they'll gather around that thing like buzzards. I'm going to preach a message about chasing off them buzzards here for long. I'd have been getting full of something about that thing. Boy, it's good. I found a man of God in the Bible that chased the buzzards away. I noticed that as we look at that thing and we see them lost people get in there, they come in there and they say, you know what, we want to come to church. We think it'd be a great idea. I'm too old to party. I'm too old to drink. I've got too many DUIs. I've got all these problems. I think I need to slow down and reconsider myself. Of course, it's okay for a man to drink every once in a while is their motto after they say that. That means they don't want to quit what they're doing. They just don't want to keep doing it in the excess volume they are. So they don't get saved. They just get religious. And the next thing you know, they hear there's going to be a fight down at the church house, and they show up at it. And they say, you know what I think I ought to do? We ought to go down there y'all don't like that preacher? Well, my wife likes him. She says he's as cute as a button, and we ought to stand behind him. Boy, what we do without good-looking preachers, huh? And next thing you know, he gets up and walks out and says, whoever loves Jesus, go ahead. And they say, we love you, we go on with you. And they go out and they start one. And the whole basis of them going out and starting a church is this. We're going to show that crowd over there we make it without them. And you know what happens most times? Both of them don't do any good. Why? Lost leaders, lost people. And I didn't say all the lost got up and left with them. Rewind it and listen. Some of them do. Because a lot of lost people stay behind and say, well, now that they out here, we going to run this thing now. Yeah, unreasonable and wicked men.
Right.
We need to pray for the protection of God's workers. You know why? There's good men of God out there that love Jesus, that's given their life to go into the ministry, spent every dime they had to get through some kind of Bible college or seminary or Bible institute. They've had to pray in loaf bread for their family and baby formula for their little babies and diapers and everything else. Had to work third shift all week long and go to Bible college all day long. Barely have time to sleep and study and spend time with the family. And they did that for somewhere between 4 to 6 years. They go to a church and the first thing people do is start eating on his character and eating on him and telling him what to do. And then before long, these people start ganging up like that. Paul said, let's just do this. Let's pray for them that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Pray for the protection of God's worker. And the Lord is the one that protects them because he says in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and, watch this, keep you from evil. He will do that. If the Lord establishes you, what he does is he takes that man of God, puts him in there. We pray for God to protect him and put a hedge of grace about him and everything else. And if he'd run, that God would run off the coyotes and all that other business and the wolves and all them and keep them off of him so he can preach. Pray for God's word to have free course and to get out there and save some of them people. I'm convinced of this. If they a wolf for the devil, boy, they'd make a great sheep for God if they ever got converted. Hey, listen, if they that fearless working for the devil, mind you, if they got converted, what that'd be for God, that'd be a great help for the things of God. And the Lord said he'll establish you and he'll do that thing. And before long, we got a man of God, it don't matter. He'll just get up and preach. Had somebody tell me a while back, and it was very interesting what they said. They said, we need to work out some kind of little payment thing with you about your deal. We need your social security number. I said, you can't have it. I've learned this. You don't give that thing out. You memorize it. And by the way, I'm not in this for any kind of money and don't care. I told them they could keep their money. I didn't need it. I wasn't in this for money. And they're like, what? Yeah. Don't need it. I ain't even going to fuss with you about it. I said, that's $1,200. Don't care. I'll tell you something. I don't care how your accountant runs it. I know how my accountant runs it, and I know what the Bible says, and I know what the government says. You don't need to pry in people's personal finances like that, you bunch of unreasonable devils. Well, that treasurer might get mad and do this. I don't care. I know who they are now. They're unreasonable and wicked. But I know this. If I have a need to get back home, God will get me there. Hey, listen, you know, it's kind of funny sometimes you get way out of town and stuff like that. See, it's easy preaching this here. I'm only 10 minutes away from the house. But when you're 5 hours away and you tell somebody that, it gets kind of different, don't it? Mm-hmm. See, there was a time back when there was no, a debit card. You had to just pray to get there and pray to get back. I done it then, too. You don't do this for money. And we need to pray for the protection of God's workers. Has it ever occurred to you that sometimes these people, that the devil puts them in place, but God's more faithful than the devil? He'll establish you. It says he'll keep you from the evil. And I notice this. If you look down in verse number 4, he says this, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you. He says, and confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things that we command you. Not only do we say we need to pray for the presentation of God's word, the protection of God's workers, but number 3, we need to pray for the performance of God's work. Those of you that drive a car where you have to get in it and you have to pray for it cranks. You ever had a car like that? Yeah, something, yeah. I knew if I just asked, they'd tell me what all they were. I noticed when you get in them kind of cars and you hit that switch and it goes, and then all of a sudden the atheist begins to pray, Lord, thou knowest I have to be at work, and my wife, she ain't gonna like it if I had to come back in the house and I had to use her car. And you hit again, and then you hit that third time and you're praying, and finally that thing turns over and you say, I might make it. I used to have this car one time. I will not call out the make and model of it because y'all would fight. Sure as I told what this one is. But when I pull up at red light, I have to, as automatic, I'd put it in neutral and keep doing the gas on it, because if I didn't, it cut off and I couldn't get it back on. Scared me to death. Every time I seen a red light, I thought, I might be sitting here. You know, we'd get up that red light, I'd put that thing in neutral, and a guy pulled up beside me one time, and I was, he pulls up beside me, and he says, and starts patting his hood, so I patted my hood back at him. That light turned green, boy, he peeled out. There's at least 11 yards of black marks laying where he went down through there. And when that policeman that was behind me pulled out from behind me and went after him, I just calmly put it in drive and just started on up the road and waved at him and went by him. I thought, boy, you in a mess. Yeah. Listen, don't let that youth get a hold of you too bad that you want to spin tires in front of the police. They'll still pull you over for that stuff.
Right.
And when you tell them, why don't you go get a real criminal? They got one. You broke the law. They got you. But I noticed that when we look at this thing, having God, he said, the performance of God's work, it doesn't just take the blueprints of God. It takes the touch of God, because we have confidence in the Lord touching you. And to touch me is like to place or lay over or above something. And there are people that God has touched that don't have to put it in neutral to keep it going. You know why? Because God's tuned them up and has got them on the performance line. I noticed something a while back, and those of you that have new cars, you understand this, or newer cars. When I had that old car back then, I was very careful with that thing, that neutral and drive thing, because I knew if I jerked it too hard, the car I had might just jerk me right through about a tenth of a mile if I wasn't careful with it. I had to be real careful doing that. But now I notice something. If I get a car that's built for performance, it performs. And I know this, if I pray for God's work, for the performance of God's work, that it'll be done. And I don't mean perform like a stage, but the work to be done. It don't take, it's not just a plan. It said that we have confidence in the Lord touching you. If we want to get anything done, we've got to have God's touch on it. Things and situations can be manipulated to look like almost anything. But boy, you can't fake the touch of God. And the person that does not know the touch of God knows what it feels like to be a fake and a phony.
Right.
Hey, I've been there before. You try to do something for God without God putting his hand on you, you'll find yourself in a mess with him. Forget about the results, good or bad. You'll find yourself in a mess in your own prayer closet. I'd rather get that right and have the touch of God doing what I'm supposed to do. Y'all ever heard that old preacher? He's been dead now a long time, Percy Ray. Y'all ever heard of Percy Ray? Well, Percy Ray is a great preacher. He's founded a camp down there in Myrtle, Mississippi. Great church down there when he was alive. And he went and preached all over the nation. He'd preach on the red lights of hell, and there'd be hundreds of people get saved every time he'd preach that. And he'd come in, and he was just a great man of God. One day a guy went to visit him down there. He was on vacation and went to his church. Barely 50 people in that church. Barely. Great man of God. They come up to my service. They said, Dr. Ray said, now we thought that you would have a bigger church, knowing the evangelistic work you do and how God's touched you. You know what he said? He said, that's just an outflow of what I'm doing here. He said, I'm just down here getting my corners. If you ever worked in the hay business before, they got them big old combines that go out there. And they'll go in that field, they'll drop them things out there, and they'll eat that hay up and be spitting it out in the back, and it's coming out in bales and rolls or however they got it set. But when that combine passes by on that one side, it can't get on that corner because it's too big. And they hire workers to go out and get that corner. And down in Mississippi, I understand Dr. Ray said they call them corner getters. Not a technical title, not a high-paying job. Somebody's got to do it. If you read in this Bible, you'll find out that God pays the man on the combine to come through in them big evangelistic crusades. Hundreds, yet thousands get saved and all that. But when that crusade sweeps around, it's going to miss this little part over here. And God puts people out there like you to go out there and get them corners. You say, who would really appreciate that? That sinner's out there that got missed by that big sweep out there. He's over here in the corner. And he's glad to see when somebody came by knocking at his door one day when he was under conviction. And God saw fit to send that corner getter down there to get him. It's not how famous you are. It's how much you'll do what God tells you to do where you're at. I notice it takes the touch of God and the teaching of God. He said that in verse 4, he said, we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. When God teaches you how to do it, he takes this manual that I got up here on this pulpit, and he teaches you how to do it through this. And it won't work any other way. It may have the appearance of moving, but something will happen for long. They tell me, and I'm not educated too highly on this, but I know this, 5 quarts of oil keeps it running smooth, don't it? Whether it's a Ford, a Chevrolet, or a Dodge, you've got to keep oil in it. Yep. You remove the oil from any one of them machines, you hear the awfulest sound you ever heard, and then when you hit that switch, you won't even hear rrr. It just won't do anything. Right. Well, it takes the Holy Spirit of God, who's likened to oil in this Bible, to keep you doing something great for the Lord. Yeah. That's His touch, is the Holy Spirit of God. That's His touch. And He says this. It takes the teaching of God. You got to take this and the oil gets rubbed all over you from the Holy Spirit of God, and He's the one keeps it moving like it should. I found out a while back, we got this thing back when I was a kid, and I remember when they brought it in the house. It was a box. It had channel numbers on it, and it was about this big. You say, was it a television? No, the television was about this big back then, and the screen was about that size, but the thing it set in was like this. It's a different box. And it had channel numbers on the television, too. When they brought that new box in, they said that thing was a revolutionary thing. I remember the guy at the store sold to us. That was a revolutionary product. He said, before long, every house in America will have one of these. And I was a little kid. I might have been 9 years old thinking, wow, that's going to change America. And I asked him, was in either Greenville's part? I said, you mean that people in our town, everybody's going to have one of these big old boxes like that with all them channels? He said, oh, yeah. And it wasn't just any kind of channels. It had digital channels on it. You push buttons on it. So was it in color? It could be. Now listen to me. That box wasn't a television. It wasn't a computer. And it wasn't a radio. But you could take stuff that was ice cold and put it in that thing and push a few buttons. And within 3 minutes, something it took you an hour to do is ready to eat. They called that thing a microwave oven. And do you know, if I'm not mistaken, ever since that day, I have not lived in a house that didn't have one of them magic boxes with all the channels on it. I've been without a TV before and had a microwave. But you know, as I look at that thing, when we brought it into the house, there's specific things you had to do. One of them was there's certain things you couldn't put in there because if you did, it'd blow up like a grenade and there'd be shrapnel all over the place. And there are idiots right now that's going to do that tonight. Yep. They won't listen to instruction. They got a gift in there that's a major piece of technology that really is a big help. But yet they say, oh, I don't believe that. I'll do it my way. And then they put something in there and it blows up on them or catches fire. And I'm not going to tell them things. I'm not going to make you out to be a terrorist, amen. I ain't going through all that. But I'm going to say this and listen to me. That thing I talked about that we had is called TV. It was this big. Remember them? A little screen about like that. It was about this deep and it had a big old tube in it and you turned it on and had to warm up to get ready. Well, that microwave's about the same way. But you had to warm that thing up. But that TV came with an instruction book. It said, first thing, I'll never forget this. I thought everybody ought to know this, but somebody obviously didn't. So they said they had to put this instruction book. Plug it into a 110. First instruction in the book. And years later, it dawned on me. Somebody probably tried to turn it on without it being plugged in and called and fussed at the guy down at the TV store and said, listen, this thing's junk. I want you to come get it. You know, but he said, you got to plug it in. You got to turn it on. You got to go outside. And what you do is you have one of your children run outside and they take an antenna and they turn like this to you. Side or, ho! And that means they got to stop right there. And then you mark down right there, that's where channel 3 is. Then they say, all right, now turn it that way. And they start turning that way a little bit. And they say, whoop, whoop, right there. And that's channel 4. And you mark him down right there, that's channel 4. And I don't know how y'all did it at my house, but I was the antenna turner. It's like a corner getter. And we'd turn, we'd find 7 and 13. You say, why them channels? Because that's all we had. And 7 and 3 was the same one. And we was right in the middle of two CBS stations, so we got both of them. In other words, we could watch the Dukes of Hazzard on either one of them things. And we'd turn that thing, and then, you know, we'd do that. But when it comes to that other box in there, going outside and grabbing that antenna in the middle of a thunderstorm, and it in metal, and holding a big lightning rod in your hand, that didn't count for that other box. And you know, it's kind of strange that even though they both had to plug into something, and you could enter to swap the plugs, you could plug that one where the TV went and the TV where the microwave, no matter what you did, they could be plugged in either one, but you couldn't operate them off the same manual. Now watch me very closely here. This book is divided up, and God even commands us to study the Bible rightly divided, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's things God told Moses that apply to Moses that do not apply to you.
Right.
They're for your learning. They're for your help. But they're not for you. They're for a Jew.
Right.
There are things that God told the Gentile church to do that he never told that Jew to do.
Right.
There are things that happens in the Gentile church where the Spirit of God, when a sinner gets saved, the Spirit of God dwells in right then. But that never happened prior to Pentecost.
Right.
Are you listening to me? God does different things through there. And if you're going to have the performance of God's work and you're going to have the touch of God, listen to this, you got to have the teaching of God to go with it so you don't get in a mess over there and try to wear a priest robe in the New Testament.
Right.
You say, you against robes? All of them but Ric Flair's.
Amen.
Listen, somebody asked me, so why don't we get choir robes? Well, it was hot enough up here tonight without throwing another pound of clothing on you, I figured. My choir leader has sweat with his hair just fell slam out of his head. I mean, I can't see doing that. But I can see this. I can see taking the TV instruction manual and operating the TV and the microwave manual operating the microwave. And I can see taking God's word and operating the Christian life with it and following it so I can follow Jesus here and not get in the mess somewhere with him.
Right.
Listen, tonight while we're here, I want to ask you a question. Will you play or will you pray? Will you play or will you pray? A lot of folks have never figured out that what God wants them to do is not be somebody that an advisory capacity to the Lord. He don't want you to do that. He wants you to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he didn't say to his disciples, he didn't say, if you pray. He never said that to them. He said, when you pray. Let's take the opportunity in this time of invitation to get some things nailed down. Number one, God commands us to pray. Here it is. It's real simple. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.